Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. Folks, welcome back, and we want to welcome you to Reclaiming the Republic and wrapping up this year. We've actually had quite a few people that have kind of joined and started listening and increasing our listenership. That happens every once in a while. We get these surges, but what we are hoping to get is a surge in leaders. We actually have a lot of people that listen to this show, listen to these programs as local leaders in taking on government. We're not here to take on government with lawyers. As a matter of fact, we don't. I personally think that, you know, it could be an honorable profession when serving others, but when we have so many laws and so many things that are violations of our rights, then lawyers are swimming around taking advantage of us instead of actually saying, we shouldn't even have to protect you from things like this because the government has no constitutional standing in doing these things. So what we want to do is we want to empower you to actually take on government because you've been told, you have been convinced all your life that the lawyers are the only way you can deal with government and taking government on. That's not true. Not that we don't need lawyers at a larger level to do those things, but we already have a lawyer that we pay good money to take care of most of these things, and that lawyer's called your attorney general. And believe it or not, you're paying for them to do nothing, and they're not doing those things that they should be doing in protecting your liberties and enforcing your rights. So we actually have to start waking people up that you possess everything you want and everything you need to get government to obey you. Now, I want to give you a metaphor because technically we don't necessarily want, and nor do we actually, you know, condone violent behavior. But I want to place a metaphorical context to what we're really doing. Because I want you to understand that your right of petition, your First Amendment right of petition to petition government for the redress of grievances, that's constitutionally protected. That's a right that they can't take away from you. I want you to understand that it is tantamount to you hitting government. Now let's take this in context. When we think physically of hitting, striking somebody, we think of, you know, maybe either extending our hand or from where our hand is, taking all of our digits of the hands, balling them together, what we call clenching of a fist. Now, you can raise your hand and clench the fist and give your opponent the indication that you're going to hit them, or you can cold cock them just by clenching your fist with your hands to your side and then strike them. Now, either way, you are battering, not just assaulting, but you are battering this individual. Now, in legal essence, when you lay your hands on somebody, that's outside the religious experience, right? So when you lay your hands upon somebody in causing harm with a fist and what have you, you're actually violating their rights. You don't have a right to cause harm to anyone. The only person, the only people you have a right to harm are politicians and bureaucrats and government. I want you to think about that. I want you to digest what I just said. Your right to hit your politician for violating the Constitution or for violating their oath of office is a legal protected action. So when you really think about it, why is it that we're not pummeling the crap out of our government right now? Well, that's what happens when the electorate, you the people, we the people, have become uneducated in knowing what is our first defense. To think there's an organization out there called the Convention of States or any other organization that is seeking to convene a convention to amend the Constitution as a first strike instead of actually using the mechanism in the Constitution of holding them accountable, which is the First Amendment right of petition. So, what we want you to do is we want you to kind of understand this metaphor before we start getting more into property rights, because this is critical. You have to realize that this legally protected right to pummel your public servants can actually be executed in such a way that it would be so effective that they would surrender. I mean, if you do your job right, they realistically could actually walk away. Depending on how stubborn they are, they could walk away early. They could just resign from their position and say, screw this, I'm not doing this anymore, and open it up for an emergency fill. And this is where you, the people, that's so. Here's one of my problems with the way our government operates, because it'll turn to the party that's occupying that seat to say, we want you to fill this seat until the next election. That's unacceptable, because the party shouldn't have the say of who would fill that seat. And as a matter of fact, that you know that you should be able to gather consensus of the people, you know, regarding their precincts or what have you. Because the problem is that the majority of the people in every county, folks, let me just back out on this. How many people in your county are hard members? In other words, due paying members of the party? Well, just because they vote a party line doesn't mean that they've surrendered their sovereignty over their representative to the party, to allow the party to replace that person. In other words, it's one thing if 100% of the people of the county were members of parties, and that the person that was being, you know, stepped down had to be replaced. That person, you know, okay, should probably be replaced by the party that put them there. But that isn't the case, folks, because I don't know any county that actually has even 50% of the people that are due paying members. It's usually a very small percentage, and they are controlling your politics. You see how this party form of government has subverted and actually perverted how we function as a government. Okay, so I went down a little rat hole, but the whole point is that if these people step down, then we need to come up with a mechanism of how to actually fill these seats. And as a matter of fact, that's something that your unorganized militia should be able to accommodate, because we want to actually eradicate the party influence regarding our politics. We want the Constitution to influence our politics, not the parties. So, back to punching and pummeling your public servants. Back to this beatdown fest that we need to be having on them. Every time you deliver a First Amendment petition, you hit them. Because you are now impacting, you're hitting them square between the eyes and saying, you have failed to do your job. This goes to the county commissioners, and if the county commissioners are good and effective, they'll hit square in the eyes your state legislators, your governor, and everybody else. Everybody who you have deemed necessary to unleash your wrath upon, your county commissioners as your representatives in supporting the Constitution, are obligated to go do these things on your behalf. So they're the ones with bigger fists that can actually go and start landing bigger punches. Now, every time, like I said, you petition them, you're actually landing a punch. Pow, you're hitting them. You're hurting them because now they're being called out. Now they've been slapped. They've been punched straight in the eye and say, hey, this is what is happening is a violation of the Constitution, and you're in office and are supposed to stop this. So, okay, you've landed the punch, but that one petition is a petition that will continue to land punches as long as they have failed to meet the expectations of the petition. This is why when we write petitions and we write them well, we lay out exactly what we expect them to do. And unless they do what they've done, boom, that petition becomes another punch. Because when you go back and you stand in front of them and go, well, what did you do? Well, now, pow, it's another hit. You have failed to do what we've asked you to do. Have we pulled back this petition? Have we invalidated this petition? Can you invalidate it constitutionally? Of course not. And so every time a petition goes unanswered and you hold them accountable, it's like that double slap, a triple slap, a quadruple slap. It is a constant pow, 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 pow by holding them accountable. Now, let's think about this going into break of having 20 petitions. After just a couple of months of doing this, you have 20 petitions in there. Or, well, let's get reasonable. We'll think about what is reasonable, but we want to start thinking in context of multiple punches. You'll start getting the pummeling idea. We'll be right back after this.
Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so now that we're thinking about this, and now that we're looking at this with the context of a petition being a multi-fist or multi-hitting impact on your public servants, now start placing context of using all of the petitions that they deserve, because every time they violate the Constitution, they deserve to be hit for it. We have, and this is the thing I really wanted to point out. You have this is your civil right as a U.S. citizen to be able to pummel your public servants. How much more beautiful of a system and design is it when the citizens have that type of power?
You can't go anywhere in the world and be able to invoke that type of an impact. I mean, yeah, you can go anywhere and complain and stand up in front if you have, let's just say, the cojones to actually get in front of your tyrants like Putin or anywhere in the world and say, how dare you do this? You're violating our rights. You know what? Because in those countries, those rights are no longer protected. They don't have enumerated constitutions. We do. We have these very specific rights that empower you to and give you everything you need to take back your government. You have to be smart in how you do it, and you have to be methodical. And that's why you have to start at the local level first and work your way up into the state. And this is how this movement will grow. And as I was explaining to a group of leaders, remember I told you that there are leaders that listen to this show. And I was explaining to a group of leaders, people who listen to this show, in how they can actually use these First Amendment petitions to create a movement. So we're going to get into this because we're right here at this point of personal property and restoring property rights, state property rights, personal property rights. We want to help place context to how this can really grow, significantly, where you can start getting a level of support that you couldn't even imagine. Because there's a lot of people that, have, I'll just say, vested interest, but we'll get into that. But before we do, let me just kind of cover, because this took me that long to get through the show's opening or monologue. This show is also sponsored by republicreview.org, and you're listening to the only show that goes through the academic evidence and academic evidence-based solutions. And later on this week, coming up, probably Friday, we'll probably just keep this into a single show format of how to set effective goals for New Year's. How can you actually become more successful in what you do as a husband, father, as a profession of a professional industry or services or skill that you possess? How can you grow and be successful in doing that? So you probably want to listen to that show because it may mean more, money, moolah, right? Anyway, let me start diving into these property rights, because one of the things we talked about yesterday is this concept of the commodity corporation or the commodity credit corporation or this thing of, and the reason they use the word corporation is because all of these little things were actually incorporated by the federal government, all done unconstitutionally. But the fact is these are entities that they had no business creating in the first place. Now, your state does have the authority if you, the people, empower them to be able to protect the state's livelihoods, your resources and so forth, to where and you want to make it so that they can't constrain these things, that they recognize that these things are integral to the strategic interests of the state. Because helping the state become more productive and more self-sufficient, is always a better thing. Allowing a state to become dependent or interdependent, where you can't raise your own food, you can't do things for yourself, then you've set yourself into a position, strategically, you've set yourself into a position where you now are subjugated to somebody for something else. Excuse me. So what we want to do is we want to start placing context to how you can start restoring property rights. Now, here's a good one, because we talked about farming, right, being a right, it being a strategic interest of the state, because there's nothing more important than the ability for your people in your state to be able to eat and to actually promote and strategically manage, you know, the fact that that food production is, you know, job one in making sure that, one, you either have enough food for everybody and that the state can put some of the food aside in case there is a need or an emergency. Now, let me ask you this. I do realize that when the state goes down this path of creating an excess, because like I said in yesterday's broadcast, when you create a program where you're pulling off so much production to put into storage for, you know, a year, let's say a year supply would be probably sufficient. Maybe 2 years. I don't know. I mean, I'm struggling here. How long did Egypt have its famine? I don't know, but I do know it was more than just a year, if I remember correctly. And so for the 7 years, they put aside, you know, plenty of wheat and food so that they could survive the downturn in productivity, the changing of the weather, climate change, whatever. The point being is that you and your state leaders all need to have an honest conversation of what would be best and use the system specifically for that the only food that comes out of that system that is, you know, that is not being used for emergency purposes is the food that has been in the system that is at a point where it is being replaced because it is aging and soon will no longer be of any value, nutritional value or any good or what have you, before it spoils. So what should they do with that? Well, then I say it's okay for your state to actually start, you know, providing this to the missions and all of those and helping subsidize, you know, those who are in greater need, you know, orphanages or even hospitals. You know, let's reduce the cost of our health care for the people that have to stay in the hospital if they're getting a stipend or, you know, this free food from the state. That should help reduce the cost, especially if you've got a compassionate services organization such as a church maintaining the hospital. They're not out there trying to make a profit. They just have to cover their costs and, you know, be able to function as an organization for growth and what have you. So the point is this, folks, that if we have an honest conversation, we can put all the cards on the table and then we can actually start making a very viable plan in ensuring that we, you know, can help protect all the citizens of the state from an absolute hardship and down the road be able to assist those who may need a little bit assistance to get themselves into a better position in life, to be able to provide for themselves and to be fully self-sufficient. You know, I mean, an 18-year-old getting out of college or getting out of high school, going into college, and even those 20-some-year-olds who are leaving college, you know, it's not like they have, you know, the income and everything else to be able to say, yeah, I'm self-sufficient. Nor should they be. As I've said before, we want people to understand that entry-level positions are necessary and essential in our growth economically. We have to have stepping stones for people to start off learning the fundamental basics of, you know, being employed, that, you know, you need to be somewhere at a very specific time. So, you know, and there's some people that may not need those lessons, but it's important that they understand all of those things. Now,
let's get back into these petitions. So you can actually create a petition that actually starts supporting and identifying the need for, you know, increasing food production. Because if you increase food production, it doesn't necessarily increase your supply. Let's just say the state decides that they're going to take 10%, 10% of the wheat, corn, rice, or whatever, that they're oats and all these different things that are being produced. And that way they can put aside that, because bottom line, it's not just feeding the people. When we're in a catastrophe mode, who's going to feed the livestock? Who's going to keep the, you know, the other food supplies of the food chains, you know, alive? Let's look at, you know, even those who have, you know, a large quantity of fish in rivers, lakes, and so forth. Now, the insects and those types of things feed them, but we have to look at the bigger picture if we're going to be true stewards. We'll be right back.
The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our Constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google Donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Okay, so let's now look at this in a business perspective, right? We've got these petitions, and we want to do all of these really good things. And so are there groups that would benefit from your ability to actually get these petitions? Now, let's look at this, you know, on, from two sides. And I'm going to use the negative side first, because there is a petition that is being generated. We don't have it yet, but somebody's going to write a petition that basically demands that the people have the ability to provide for themselves, that this is a fundamental right for you to be able to have a chicken coop and to be able to raise your own chickens and have your own eggs. Now, fundamentally, that's a great thing, because making people more self-sufficient is great. Now, to be honest, it's going to take a hit on the chicken, you know, poultry market, right? Tyson's isn't going to be selling as many chickens. Well, that's okay. Then Tyson's can expand themselves in doing something a little bit more than just chickens. Maybe they can increase turkeys, because it's not reasonable for people to, you know, have more turkeys, but it may create a opportunity to fill that void, because, you know, have you ever had a wild turkey? They're not very tasty, but if you've had a domestic turkey, they're actually not that bad. So the point is that, you know, we could actually make a petition that there could be some businesses that wouldn't be very happy with because it would affect their profit or their margins, and they don't like that. So on the flip side, though, there are organizations like farmers. Many of the farmers who have gone out of business, family farms that are struggling, and people that want to do farming, but they just can't because the state is allowing good farmland to be taken. And people may have tractors, they may have the ability or what have you, to actually go and produce food to sell in the market space. If that's the case, folks, then these people would be perfect people to join your organization. Now, one of the things that we bring up, and I'll get to this later as far as memberships and how that which needs to work in creating this, because this at state level, we're talking about actually at a state level creating a 501c4, an educational group to teach people how to use petitions and to actually deliver petitions to teach your public servants what they're supposed to be doing. This has nothing partisan at all. This is all about teaching the Constitution and holding those people accountable, because that's the best way to learn, is by holding people accountable. So we can start looking at, you know, like the cattlemen. You know, are the cattlemen happy with the profits that they're making off their beef? Heck no. The packers are making way too much. And we need to give the cattlemen more of a voice. And so if they see the opportunity of how we can use petitions to basically start, you know, taking back these roles and responsibilities at the state level to where packing isn't done at one or two plants anymore, that it becomes distributive, that the more people that are involved in the processing and the distribution, the more competition we have. You know, these packing companies with union and other influences were able to start creating a monopoly. Well, folks, does that help your bottom line? No. You pay more money for beef. You pay more money for pork and so forth. It's the same thing when it comes to farming. It's the same thing when it comes to minerals. So let's shift gears real quick and let's look at coal. One of the groups, the Wyoming group that I'm dealing with, these leaders in Wyoming, it came up in our conversation that, you know, is there a petition that we could do that would demand, you know, the compliance of the Constitution so that Wyoming could sell its coal into, you know, through the ports in Seattle and through the ports on the West Coast or what have you? And I said, absolutely. And if you really think about it, who would benefit from this? Coal mines, coal miners, everybody who's basically been shut down because Washington State and the federal government doesn't want to comply to the Constitution, getting them to comply would benefit all of these other people. The state of Wyoming would benefit because they'd be able to sell a lot of coal. And that coal would bring in the revenue to help get Wyoming off the teat of the federal government. Folks, now when you start looking at who can get involved in helping you grow this organization, now these people, these organizations can be members. You can have a corporation join. Let's just say the corporation membership will cost a lot more than an individual member of the 501c4. You got to have dues because it costs money to be able to do some of these things administratively. And eventually, we want this program to fund these organizations. We want to get to a point where nobody has to worry about where the funding is going to come so that we can get the necessary work done. And this is how we do it. This is how we monetize these efforts so that you're actually getting the money you need. And that these other organizations, because guess what? The coal miners of Wyoming and the coal miners of Utah, they can all be working together in supporting these endeavors to bring this exact same constitutional compliance an organized militia organization, whatever you want to call it, into their state, like the state of Utah, the state of Idaho, the state of wherever they have coal, Colorado probably, Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, Washington State even. And so all of these companies, just imagine, just these strings that have been constraining all of these companies from being able to do the one thing that they were set out to do, mine coal and sell it. It's one thing. It is one thing if we go down a natural path and choose not to buy coal and not to use or burn coal. Now, China has this insatiable desire and need to burn coal because they know it's cheaper. It's cheaper by a lot. So, okay, so China's going to continue to buy this from us. We got to quit buying crap from them. That's how we turn our trade deficit to a trade surplus. But folks, we got to stop buying crap, and we got to start moving manufacturing and other things back here. Who benefits if we bring manufacturing back? You, the people. The jobs and everything else start coming back. Bottom line, as we get government off of our backs and we reduce our tax base, as we reduce the cost of labor, because what's a big part of the cost of labor? Well, guess what, folks? It's tax. Corporate tax, individual tax, income tax, all of these different taxes that are out there that all just are piled onto our back. As we get rid of that, then we actually become more competitive. Now, I don't know if America can produce products, you know, right now, because it seems like complacency is, you know, a terrible trend. I mean, I can go anywhere and hire a professional landscaper to come and do a dismal job on my property, and I'm no better off, because they couldn't do what I wanted to do. And we're not talking rocket science here. Well, it's just not something that they do that often or that they care to do. Anyway, so what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to help you see how property rights and these types of petitions people will sink their teeth into. People understand these things are directly associated to livelihoods. There's money involved in this. There's life involved in food. There's life involved in the harvesting of resources, like building homes from the timber industry, and so forth and so on. So if you actually start going down this path and you start getting organized, one of the first things you want to do is you want to make sure that your unorganized militia, your citizen vigilance organization, because let's be honest, this organization, this 501c4 that you're going to create at the state level, that's going to basically feed all of your counties and grow all of your counties apportionately so that every county then becomes constitutional in designing and developing this criteria of what it takes to create a constitutional county. Well, first off, the public servants have to comply to it completely. But as you go down this path, and as you start seeing these things come together, you're going to see the strings of government cut, because now government can't hold money over your head and say, you need this money, and if you don't take this money, then you can't do these things. And if you take this money, you have to do these specific things. And 9 times out of 10, no one is better off taking money from government. No one. I don't think America was better off when we all received that little stipend for the COVID relief. 600 here, 600 there. Are you serious? I mean, come on, folks. Were you better? Was America better off having the government spend that kind of money? Now, to be clear, the government's been spending money to other governments and other polities and so forth, and in this big, huge global welfare plan. You know, they don't have the authority to do that. The checks that they wrote and the money they gave away, they did unconstitutionally, which means that you're not accountable to that debt either. Anyway, when we come back, what we want to do is we want to get through the rest of this strategic look at your estate.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and their 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires two-thirds of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so as I said, we kind of have to have honest conversations, and we have to put everything on the table. You know, don't think that we don't need vegetables. Don't think that we don't need grain. Don't think that you don't need milk and dairy products and fish, the essentials, yeast. We need to basically have a supply of things necessary so that we can continue to be productive. We don't, folks, what happened in hunkering down is unacceptable. We need the ability to thrive. We need the ability to actually be able to do what we have to do to keep, you know, our productivity up so that we have revenue and those types of things. And allowing government to come in and shut you down because there's, you know, this respiratory disease or what have you, that's unacceptable. They don't have any authority to do that. And so you need to start creating this full list, this whole scope of things that you demand that the state be able to provide in case of an emergency. You don't want your state to be able to become the primary mechanism of welfare, of feeding you, of paying your rent and doing those types of things. It is essential that we reduce government's role as much as we possibly can. We want to make sure government is accounting for those things that we actually need government to do, and it's not to be the center of our lives. So as we start coming up with, you know, this list of crops, these other things, we need to start understanding where you have shortfalls. Do you have enough ranchers in your state? If you don't, then you need to incentivize ranching. And if you've got land that's not being properly used, then the state can actually start leasing that land out, that agricultural land, land that's identified as strategic agricultural land, and start leasing it out. So at least the homeowner is being compensated if they're a legitimate homeowner. What I mean by that is they're a legitimate property owner. If it's Bill Gates, who's not even a resident of that state, and he's bought that land to be non-productive, the state needs to pass a law that that person doesn't get compensated for making land, because all they're doing is waging economic warfare. We need to make economic warfare at the state level unconstitutional and illegal, and start punishing people for doing that, for buying up a, you know, whether it be a newspaper or whether it be any type of agency, to buy something up and shut it down is unacceptable. Unacceptable. I understand that there is mergers and acquisitions, and that's the common outfall of those types of things. But the states cannot allow those things to happen anymore. So if an organization wants to create a merger, they have no right to move those resources, that revenue and everything else, out of your state. This actually makes it, you know, it de-incentivizes, or it makes it less appealing to some of these corporations to continually get bigger. Because bottom line, if they can't, you know, get bigger at the expense of other people, then why do it? In other words, if they can't hurt somebody so that they can get better to be, you know, get bigger to make more money from doing all of the work in one state instead of all the states that is being done now, then as far as I'm concerned, we're better off not allowing those mergers to go into effect. And your state legislatures need to actually be protecting you from those things. They have the authority to do these things. At least they should, because they do have in their authority the ability to create those types of entities, and they should be protecting them. These are the types of conversations that we have to have, and we need petitions to ensure that we're covering these things, to cover the strategic interest, because, folks, it's not a matter of when, right? It's going to happen sometime soon. The question is, are you ready? And if you're not ready, then you need to start doing things now. This is why I always start the show off saying it's now or never, folks. What is it going to take for you to wake up and say, today we're going to start doing things? So when we laid out this strategy for the Bill of Rights and going into reinforcing property rights, this opens a huge door, doors, plural, and windows of different avenues and different portals of problems we have to get through, things that we have to deal with so that we can place, you know, these essential parts of our lives back into focus and how they are to be maintained at our level. You know, I do understand that there are states and there are areas that cannot sustain themselves. But that's okay, because they have found other ways. Look at Singapore. Does Singapore have the ability to grow its own food? How many people in Singapore are actually involved in the production of food? Are there any corporations for going out and doing all the fishing? Or do they just buy from existing corporations? Because Singapore has become a nation that's built on business and banking and those types of things. They don't have products. They don't have resources. Their resources is their education and their people and so forth. And they've created a nation that can provide and serve all sorts of industries. Well, that may be the same thing here in America, where Rhode Island doesn't have much ability anymore to feed itself. So what's it going to do? It needs to start taking some of its taxes and start actually creating a store for those people who live in Rhode Island so that they have adequate energy, they have adequate food. We need every state in the union to accept the responsibility of being able to provide, if necessary, for emergency purposes. There's nothing wrong with your states doing that. I can tell you there is something wrong with the federal government doing it, because it's not enumerated. Remember, all things not enumerated and or constrained by the Constitution are left to the states respectively. And so we've got to actually open those doors so the states can do what they need to do. We have grown too far and too big and too complicated to not at least say we're adult enough, we're mature enough to get our arms around this, and we can handle this. And you can. As we start looking more and more, so part of this, we actually have to start looking at non-residential ownership, whether that be our agricultural land, whether that be corporations, it doesn't matter. Whoever the entity is, whether that entity is federal, like the BLM, or whether that entity is private, like Bill Gates, or whether that entity is foreign, like George Soros. We need to actually have very specific criteria of who can own that land. No foreigner can own any land in your state, period. No government can own any land. Even the United States government cannot own land that's not enumerated. No foreign government can own any land, any resource, any property at all. They can't even own a business. So the fact of the matter is, folks, even though they're doing it, doesn't mean that they're doing it constitutionally. These are all things that we need petitions on. These are things that we need to start pummeling your public servants, your politicians. So as you start going down this path, you need to actually start getting your state legislatures to start addressing what kind of laws they need to create that make sure that they can account for economic warfare. And what we mean by this is that if somebody that is not a resident of your state is conducting economic warfare, the state can step in and seize that land to lease out at the beginning of a farming season, or actually well in advance, and say, you know what, because you have done this, this next year, we will be seizing this land for this next year. So in other words, it's done. That land will be used for production. You want to actually take that land back and start using it for production, then fine. You need to contact us, but you need to let us know what you're planning on doing with it, because the last thing we want and the last thing you need is that land to be used for some other resource. That product doesn't even get sold. It just gets shipped over to China. Why? Because now it's actually become, you know, a resource for China. Or that's unconstitutional. If it's being shipped, it needs to be sold to be that, so that the state is actually making its revenue. So this is why we have to get our arms around our ownership, our strategic interests, in making sure that what we have here in America is ours, every bit of it. No one has a constitutional right that is a foreigner to anything in America. They don't. They don't have a legal right. They don't have a leg to stand on. They can come here and they can pursue immigration or what have you, but that is it. I mean, those are the mechanisms, and that's the path to becoming a private citizen and private owner, but they could never subjugate that property to another foreign potent, to another sovereign, period. If so, they would lose their citizenship and they would lose everything, just like the Tory Acts. Go read the Tory Acts. January 2nd is the anniversary of the Tory Acts. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.